This is Deborah Hart and Lung Center Presents, and I'm very pleased to report, and it's great to welcome back. We had a wonderful program together in the not-too-distant past. Wendy Carey, nurse practitioner, interventional cardiology, certification adult gerontology, acute care nurse practitioner, master of science in nursing, Rowan University, bachelor of science in nursing, Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. And it's a really important topic, and this program is presented on a monthly basis. We floated a little bit many times. This was because of our charity dinner that we moved to the second week of the month, but typically on the first Thursday of every month in a program that we know, because we've heard it, has saved lives. Literally, we have been told that by listeners who heard the experts of Deborah Hart and Lung Center speak about different topics and then went to get the care that they needed. And in at least several over the years, it's been life-saving. So today's topics are very, very important. And this program is presented and sponsored by Deborah Hart and Lung Center. And today's topic, I think it's really important because there are many people that don't even realize that there's an issue with their blood pressure. You know, they wake up, they function, and you don't even realize it's something that you really need to manage is out of control, and you don't even know it. So managing your blood pressure, Wendy is going to be talking about, and cardiovascular disease risk. Wendy, welcome to your program. Good morning.
Good morning.
Pleasure to have you back.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Let's talk about blood pressure, about what it is and how it is, you know, the correlation related to cardiovascular disease. Two-part question right out of the box because you're a veteran of Deborah Hart and Lung Center Presents. Time is yours, Wendy.
All right, great. Thanks. Yes, blood pressure is the force of the blood against your arteries, and it is so, so very important. Elevated blood pressures, or hypertension as we call it, is a risk factor for many cardiovascular diseases like heart disease, heart failure, heart attacks, strokes, vascular disease, and even kidney failure, to name a few.
Wow. And the correlation between blood pressure and cardiovascular disease, just as a point of emphasis, anything in addition that you wanted to share?
Yeah, so when your blood pressure is elevated, it can definitely affect the arteries in your system, which can affect all of the vasculature in your body and different parts of your body, like your brain, your heart. It can affect the walls and make them weak. So it is a very, very important topic for all providers, not just cardiologists.
Managing your blood pressure and cardiovascular disease risk with Wendy Carey this half hour on Deborah Hart and Lung Center Presents. A reminder, as you continue to listen to Wendy's presentation, if you're dealing with certain issues and you need the expert care of Deborah Hart and Lung Center, I encourage you either to call to make an appointment, 609-621-2080. That's 609-621-2080, or digitally, any smartphone, any digital device, demanddeborah.org. This is, I think, really important for our listeners to understand, and I don't think many are out there taking their blood pressure once or three times a day, but what is considered a healthy blood pressure target range?
So 120 over 80 is our goal for blood pressure. Your blood pressure throughout the day is going to fluctuate. You're not always going to be 120 over 80. So if you occasionally get a reading that is higher than that, it is not to be alerted that, oh my goodness, I have high blood pressure. You know, I need to address that right now. Your body kind of naturally will balance that. But 120 over 80 is our goal. And we generally work on those lifestyle modifications when your blood pressure starts creeping up above that target. And we can go into that in a little bit. But it is so important. And sometimes we do address it a little bit more aggressively when you have comorbidities like diabetes or heart disease or kidney problems. We might just start you on medications a little bit before that.
Wendy, how do you check your blood pressure? And then I have a follow-up.
Sure. Sure, that's a great question. Clearly, your doctor's office, when you go to your doctor's office, they'll check your blood pressure. And you can use home monitoring in between if your doctor recommends it. And one of the important things when you do check your blood pressure at home is to make sure that you're checking it properly, which includes sitting in a chair, that your back is supported, both of your feet are on the ground, your legs aren't crossed, your arm is supported, and you've rested for a good 5 minutes before you take that blood pressure. We generally recommend that you don't drink alcohol, smoke cigarettes, or do any kind of exercise for at least 30 minutes before you take your blood pressure.
And how often should you check it?
So it is really dependent on your provider and when they want you to check it. Checking it daily is great. It is important that if you are on medications for blood pressure, that if you take your blood pressure medications by mouth, that they will take a good 45 minutes to an hour to work. So taking your blood pressure right after you take your medications doesn't always provide that good information to see how your blood pressure medications are working. So we generally would like you to wait about an hour or two after taking them. Also, some providers, depending on your medication regimen, would like you to take a couple times throughout the day or even before you go to bed.
And let's make radio, Wendy, the theater of the mind and try to paint this picture. If someone listening right now is going to use a blood pressure cuff, it's very easy when you're at the office because they put it on correctly and you get told all the right things to do, like you said, about not having the legs crossed and all of this. For example, is it important that your arm be at a certain height, like not all the way down, but have it like, you know, maybe the height of the armrest of the chair? How do you describe to someone where to locate the blood pressure cuff? How tight should they make it? And at what angle should they be?
So those are great questions. Yes, keeping your arm supported at an arm length, like if you're sitting in a chair with an arm, or if you're near a table, that is about where your arm would be comfortably resting. Clearly not, you don't want to have your arm raised or have it really low. Neither one of those will be real accurate. And depending on what kind of cuff you're using at home, there is some that go around the wrist and there's some that go around the upper arm. And to make sure that your cuff is properly sized for the upper arm is important, because you can get erroneously high or low blood pressures if it's not measured to you. A great way to make sure that your cuff at home is working and that you do have it sized appropriately is bring it to the office, to your provider, and they can help you make sure that you can get it on yourself and to make sure it's properly sized for you.
Such a good answer. Wendy Carey is our guest this hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, and the topic this half hour is managing your blood pressure and cardiovascular disease risk. What are the symptoms of high blood pressure?
So that's another great question. So the symptoms are sometimes nothing at all. There's many, many people walking around with blood pressures that are elevated and they have no idea. So that's why it can be a little bit scary to, if you do have high blood pressure, that there's no symptoms. Others can have some symptoms like headaches or bloody nose, dizziness, shortness of breath. And when the blood pressure is extremely high, you can get symptoms that will mimic stroke or heart attack, and those should be seen at your closest emergency room.
We only take one break during Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, and we'll do that right here, right now. We're going to be right back. Again, the topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents is managing your blood pressure and cardiovascular disease risk with Wendy Carey. When we come back, we're going to be talking about, do the symptoms present? We hear this in a lot of different items that we talk about on this program monthly, about how perhaps with heart issues and things like that, heart whatever, and other issues, how things, symptoms and things may present differently in men and in women. We'll see if that is the case with respect to blood pressure when we come back right after this. Don't go away. Again, to make an appointment, you can call Deborah Heart and Lung Center at 609-621-2080, 609-621-2080. And I promise you can do the same thing from any digital device. You'll see when you go to demanddeborah.org, you will see the hyperlink right there. I believe it is red. You can't miss it. You click on that and you can do everything on a digital device that you could do by calling 609 609- 601-2080. It's just a matter of preference. So demanddebora.org or 609-621-2080. Back with Wendy right after this, approaching 16 minutes past the hour. Thank you. We're back. It's almost 20 minutes past the hour. Wendy Carey from Debora Heart and Lung Center on managing your blood pressure and cardiovascular disease risk. Again, to make an appointment, it's very simple to do. They're great about communicating with you at Debora Heart and Lung Center. You can use your digital device, go to demanddebora.org, and you can hit the scheduling hyperlink right there to make an appointment, or you can call, and you'll be prompted easily at 609-621-2080, 609-621-2080. And our topic this half hour with Wendy is managing your blood pressure and cardiovascular disease risk. Wendy, we left with a cliffhanger, and the good news is I don't know the answer to this question, but the really good news is you do know the answer to this question. Do symptoms present differently in men and women here?
So specifically for high blood pressure, because not everybody has those classic symptoms, it may not. You may not have, like I said before, symptoms at all. However, women present a little bit differently with chest pain and acute coronary syndrome. So along those lines, it is important to keep an eye out for those subtle differences, the dizziness, the lightheadedness, the just not feeling right, the fatigue, the shortness of breath. So, you know, it's not just women, too, that have these different symptoms. Sometimes diabetics also have not the classic type of symptoms.
Wendy, what risk factors lead to high blood pressure? And for our listeners, we take into consideration both controllable and not controllable factors.
Great question. So controllable or modifiable risk factors for high blood pressure would include being overweight, a diet really high in sodium, processed foods, high in saturated fats, excessive alcohol use and smoking are some of those controllable risk factors that, you know, we can change ourselves or work on trying to change. Things that we can't control, like age, gender, family history, race or ethnicity, and conditions like chronic kidney disease and renal stenosis. There's some other diseases within the hormone system of our body, like hyperthyroidism, that we can't control. There is one other thing, though, that I'd like to mention, that obstructive sleep apnea, which is a very good, popular discussion amongst medical providers and patients nowadays, is because obstructive sleep apnea, when not treated, is an independent risk factor for development of hypertension.
This one, I think, is going to be very interesting because I think there's almost like a default mechanism. Hey, they're having a conversation about managing your blood pressure. So they're going to be talking about is high blood pressure. But there is something called low blood pressure. There are people, and they're listening right now, that they're not dealing with high blood pressure. They're dealing with low blood pressure. And that also is a health issue that has to be dealt with, correct?
Correct. That is a big health issue. Now, there's a couple things that can cause that low blood pressure. There could be some acute issues that need, you know, immediate medical attention. But your blood pressure being low can affect your vital organs because you're not getting enough blood to them, like your brain and your heart and your kidneys. And it can cause some dizziness, lightheadedness, and passing out, which are all not great.
Not at all. And that might be one where somebody might think, hey, you know what? I didn't eat today. I'm just, you know, whatever. A1C is wacky, or, you know, just low blood, you know, sugar. And so I'm lightheaded, but it could very well be that it is somebody, maybe if they get up real quick and all of a sudden,
correct,
whoa, you know, so that's, I'm really glad, Wendy, that you had the opportunity to address that. And this, I think, is maybe the jewel of the crown. Obviously, you know, diagnosis is so important and doing the right things that you talked about. And if someone is a bit overweight, trying to lose the weight and help you. But what about this one? What issues can someone have happen to them if they leave their high blood pressure untreated?
Yeah, and because it's so asymptomatic for most people, this is what we don't realize is going on behind the scenes, right? So when your blood pressure is high and not treated for long periods of time, it can affect, like I've said, all of your main organs as well as your vasculature. But it can affect your eyes and your vision. It can affect your brain, leading to strokes, your heart, leading to heart attacks, and kidneys, leading to kidney failure, where you might need dialysis.
Wow.
So in regards to the heart specifically, it can enlarge or make that pumping chamber of your heart really big. It also can affect the ability for your heart to relax. It needs a break. You know, it beats all the time, right? At least 60 times a minute. But we need it to relax and recoup as well. And it can also make your heart failure and your coronary artery disease worse.
Wow. So, for example, if you have high blood pressure, Is that typically mean your heart is beating a lot faster than 60 beats a minute?
So it's beating harder. It's having a hard time getting that blood past the, like, if you think of it as your heart being a pump in, like, your house.
Got it.
And you need to pump water. And there's a lot of resistance beyond where that pump is going. It makes that pump work harder. And that's what's happening inside your body.
I think a lot of this you may have covered, but in fairness, I want to make it a standalone question as well, because
sure.
I think there's more you can do with this. What are the long-term effects of unmanaged high blood pressure?
Yeah, like I said, all of those things. But one of the big things that I like to talk about is the kidneys, because as much as I love the heart, because I do work at DeBoer Heart and Lung Center, we do love the kidneys as well. They play a very big part in controlling your blood pressure, and affecting, when you're not managing your blood pressure well, it really can affect your kidneys too.
Such an important question and answer from Wendy Carey. If you're just tuning in, it's DeBoer Heart and Lung Center Presents, and our discussion this half hour is managing your blood pressure and cardiovascular disease risk. We're at 27 minutes past the hour, so we're going to make the 9 minutes that we have count with Wendy this morning here on DeBoer Heart and Lung Center Presents. And again, to make an appointment, simple to do, you can call 609-621-2080, 609-621-2080, or digitally, any digital device, your smartphones, iPads, laptops, desktops, any digital device, demanddebora.org. How are high and low blood pressure treated, Wendy?
Okay, so low blood pressures, usually treated in an acute setting in a hospital. You can have low blood pressure, just to mention before, because I didn't quite touch on it earlier. When you're on blood pressure medications or you're having issues with blood pressure, it is important when you stand or change positions that you take that moment to make sure that you are okay to then proceed in walking or doing whatever activity you want to do. So blood pressure sometimes is just taking that low blood pressure specifically, taking that time to make sure that when you change positions that you're no longer dizzy or feel like you're going to pass out. But acutely, usually low blood pressures need to be treated in the hospital setting with some fluids. In regards to high blood pressure, however, we do like to start with lifestyle modifications like I've talked about before, your diet, exercise, avoiding alcohol and smoking. And one of the important things, which I learned from a very great cardiologist here, 2 grams of low sodium diet. To remember, it's so important that 2 grams of low sodium is equivalent to 1 small level teaspoon of salt a day.
Wow.
And reading the label, so it's not just the salt we're adding into the food when we're cooking or eating, but reading the labels is so important, and tracking your total sodium throughout the day is extremely important. We drink a lot of fluids that have sodium in it. We eat a lot of processed foods that have sodium in it. So it's just important to really remember it's not just the salt we add to our foods. Of course, there's medications, and there's lots of different medications that we can use to treat. A lot of times we need more than one type of medication because they work differently. So if you're on 2 or 3 medications, it's not because there is a rationale. We're working at different points of your body to affect that blood pressure.
Just
now, at DeBoer, we just started doing a procedure. I'm so sorry.
No. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Oh, good. We just started doing a procedure that just got FDA approved. That is going to help with patients who have primary hypertension that doesn't have any other causes. that are on two or three medications and they're still uncontrolled, we have a procedure that we can actually use to, it's an adjunct to the medication therapy to help with blood pressure management.
What I was going to do when I jumped in so rudely and interrupted you, Wendy, was to say how important, I love it, how important an answer I thought that was when you shared. It's not like, hey, you know, you got the salt shaker out and you're just drowning the thing in salt.
Right.
These things that we eat, they have in many cases, and we don't even realize it. We just know they taste good. They can have a very high sodium content in them already.
It's so true. And it tends to be, too, if we really watch those labels, some of the foods, they're getting a little bit better at it, but some of the foods that are geared more towards the low-fat, low-cholesterol diets, to add flavor because they've taken all the things out that have, like, the sugar and the fat in it, and they'll add sodium in those foods to give it more flavor. So we really, really need to look really closely at the labels. You know, everyone kind of knows, oh, canned vegetables have high sodium, but there's other things there too. And we drink a lot of fluids that have sodium in them as well.
So true. I think about, like, I love, for example, certain chicken soups, chicken noodle soup, you know, chicken and dumplings, whatever. And when it tastes the most flavorful, it's when it has a lot of salt, right?
Yeah. And there's so many different seasonings that we can add to add the flavor that don't have those salt in it. So it is really good to look when you go down those spice aisles, take a look at something, maybe, you know, look at the label, make sure there's not a little extra salt, but try something different. You may enjoy that flavor a lot better than the sodium as well.
This I also think, Wendy, and I'm glad we're in about our 4-minute drill, that we have the opportunity for you to cover this because there are stages of high blood pressure, depending on just how high it goes. What are the stages?
So normal blood pressure below 120 over 80, and elevated pressure, blood pressure that's systolic or that top number, ranging 120 to 129, and the bottom number being 80. So that's elevated once you start getting above that 120 over 80. Stage one, that top number being between 130 and 139, and the bottom number being between 80 and 89. And stage two hypertension is anything above 140 over 90.
Mm. And at that point in time, you've got to really be on top of it, don't you? Can you hear me, Wendy? I wonder if we lost Wendy. Hold on. Wendy, I'm going to put you back on hold. I think you'll be able to hear me while you're on hold. I could still hear you. Wendy, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so that was not on your end. We had a little bit of a technical issue there where you couldn't hear me for a moment. I was saying that is, if you're in that stage or the 140 something over 90 and beyond, you really have to be on top of this, don't you?
You do. And we don't like to totally drop your blood pressure really, really fast. So we might do this in stages, have you come back to the office in a month, maybe every 2 months, just until we can get it under control. Because when your blood pressure is running high for a long period of time and we try to bring it down too fast, sometimes we can get those side effects like dizziness, lightheadedness, and you just don't feel well. We don't want you to do that because we want you to stay on the medications and we want you to be compliant so that we can easily get your blood pressure down.
See, that's so smart, because if you're not feeling good, if you're feeling lightheaded, you're feeling weird, people are going to not be compliant. They're just not going to want to do it.
Right. And that's when we don't. And that's part of the issue with high blood pressures. When you feel good, you think your blood pressure is good. And like we've said, you can be totally asymptomatic with this.
To make an appointment at Deborah Heart and Lung Center, you can call 609-621-2080, or you can do so digitally as well, demanddeborah.org, demanddeborah.org. Time for one more question, and I do want to give you a closing comment on anything that you'd like to wrap up the topic of managing your blood pressure and cardiovascular disease risk. High blood pressure has been called the silent killer, and why is that?
Yeah, because a lot of people have no symptoms for years. Mm. And during that time, it's affecting your organs, like we've talked about, as well as your vasculature, often people will feel fine and, like I said, not take their medications or adjust their lifestyles. Meanwhile, this is all going on without you knowing it. And that's why it's called the silent killer, because it's in there
doing its damage and you have no idea what's going on.
You know, for somebody that's listening right now, and perhaps you, and most of the health benefits now cover an annual physical, because we really got very smart in that regard and learned how important that is, because that's your baseline. Every year you'll learn like what has changed. That is your opportunity, among all the other things that will be done. Maybe they'll check your balance and do all these other things, maybe blood work, whatever your doctor, your healthcare provider, you know, wants to do, you'll do. But typically you will get your blood pressure taken. So if somebody right now is asymptomatic, but, and so they mean, they think, hey, I'm doing great, and they don't go to their doctor or to their healthcare provider, they may have what you're talking about. They may have high blood pressure, but they're functioning, they think, normally. They don't even know it's happening. So staying on top of this is, is my last comment, and I turn it over to you for a closing comment.
Yeah, thank you so much for talking to me about this today. It is a big passion of mine. I do want to put it out there for the people that do experience it. White coat syndrome is a legit thing.
Yeah.
And your blood pressure can be elevated in the office. That's why we would like you to come back in a couple of days, or for you to take your blood pressure at home and keep a log for us. That that home log is so important to the providers to see, one, if the medication is working. Two, if you just have white coat syndrome and you don't need to be treated right now, we can work on those other things, you know, the modifiable risk factors. Or if we need to change your medications to address it because your blood pressure is high at home as well.
Follow up, and we'll make this the absolute final so I get you out on time, Wendy.
Okay.
For somebody that says, oh, I just don't want to take this medicine. It's going to have side effects. I'm not going to like this. I don't like taking this stuff. What do you say to them?
Yeah, it's so hard. And of course, you know, the patient has the ultimate decision as to what's right for them and their body. It is important to know, though, the most important thing that I can have you take away from this is you don't know what's going on with the organs and the vasculature inside your body when your blood pressure is elevated. You don't get those symptoms.
Yeah.
So even though you feel great, you feel fine, and, you know, I don't think I need this medicine, I feel fine. It's not, you've got lots of years to, you know, deal with the side effects that it could, or the consequences to not treating the blood pressure. And those years could get cut off too soon.
Yeah, you feel fine until you don't.
Correct. Correct.
Wendy, masterclass as always. Honor to present you. Have a great day.
Thanks. You too. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. That's Wendy Carey, and you can make an appointment at 609-621-2080 or demand Deborah.org.